News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Another cold one, 38 degrees. That's okay. We'll live and it'll be summer again eventually. Joining us now by phone, we have Mark Faulkner. He is the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare. That means he oversees the entire healthcare system, the network of facilities here in the Escambia and Santa Rosa area. Mark, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. So, obviously, we are in the middle of the Omicron surge. We are seeing more cases, but a lot of people are, you know, we're trying to figure out where we're at and what it means and what to do, obviously. I talked with Mayor Robinson about your meeting that you guys had on Monday with him, and I just kind of wanted to ask you some questions about that. Even though we are seeing an increase in hospitalizations, we here are not seeing what we are seeing elsewhere in the country, which is a real high percentage, like 50% of people who they just test positive once they get into the hospital, right? We're seeing more like 20% of people who have it but aren't there for it. Is that about right?
Yes, we are seeing in our hospitalized patients a number of them, roughly 20-25%. Are there for incidental COVID. In other words, they're here for another reason, like a mom's giving birth to a baby, but is also positive for COVID. So we're seeing those numbers fluctuate from 20 upwards to 30, 35% at some points. But yes, we are seeing more of that patients, they happen to have COVID while they're here for other conditions.
Okay, and also the people who are hospitalized, you're not seeing anywhere near the numbers with Delta of people needing to go into ICU or needing to be on ventilators, right?
That's correct. Roughly about 25% of our hospitalized COVID patients are requiring critical care. And recall that in other surges, that number was upwards of 30, 35, sometimes 40% would require ICU.
Okay, so in the patients who test positive, which is going to include some incidentals as well, the seriousness, the acuity of it is significantly lower. Are you, and I hate to be indelicate about this, but what people really want to know is, are people actually passing away from Omicron particularly, which I know you guys don't sequence on campus, so it's hard to say, but are you still seeing anything like the percentages of people passing away that we saw during Delta?
Sadly, we are still having fatalities, and not near the level, not near the percentage that we had seen previously in the prior 22 months of this pandemic. But unfortunately, yes, we are seeing patients expire.
Okay, so, I mean, which I knew there was at least one case that that came out publicly just yesterday about an ECAT driver. So I knew there had been some, but the level of those, and because the state is kind of a lag in the reporting, we should expect to see some of those numbers come out weeks from now, maybe. But we are seeing some, but just not nearly as bad as during Delta, which fits with the lower levels of acuity, ICU, and ventilators. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. According to a study by Kaiser, with the Omicron variant, you're roughly half as likely to be hospitalized. Roughly 0.5% of positive testing patients require hospitalization, as opposed to about 1.3% with the Delta surge. So, yeah, it is less likely that you would need hospitalization, less likely for critical care. Even the patients that are admitted are staying here for shorter lengths of stay as well.
Yeah, and that study also had said that there's about a 74% reduction in ICU admission of positive tests and a 91% reduction in people who are dying from Omicron, although we're still a little bit early in the wave, I think, to be definitive about that. I've been telling people, and always you correct me if I say anything dumb, okay? I've been telling people that based on the rise and fall we've seen in South Africa, what we've seen in the UK, what we've seen in both London City and in New York City, that probably Florida, which is as a state leading us by about a week in our numbers, that we're likely about at the top. Maybe this week we'll peak in Florida, which means we'll peak about a week later here locally. And probably come February, we're just about going to be past the primary case counts from Omicron. Does that fit with what your clinicians and your medical directors are telling you?
Yes. What I'm seeing, what we're reading from CDC, from state universities, from Johns Hopkins, are models that show that we should peak in the next 4 to 7 days, if not already reaching that at roughly about now. If our models and our trends are consistent with what's happened in South Africa, what's happening in New York State, what's happened in the UK with this variant. So, yeah, we would expect, Andrew, you know, somewhere hopefully in the next week or so to peak out.
So my takeaway from that is if people are going to try to be smart about what's going on in our community, right now, for the next week or so, is the time to be as careful as you have ever been, because you want to prevent spreading it if you have it or acquiring it if you don't. And if we're careful right now, the community-wide effects are going to kind of burn through. And if you can keep yourself safe from it for about the next week with kind of intense mitigation measures, right now is the time to do that for maybe the next week or so. Am I reading you right? Am I reading the situation right?
I think you are. You know, when policymakers say, hey, let's mask up or let's, you know, do this or that, it's always temporary, right? And right now, we'd be temporary for the next week or two or three. Go back to those same things, those same practices of washing hands and masking up and avoiding. Certainly, if you're feeling ill, stay away from folks and quarantine yourself. Again, this is temporary. You know, interestingly, about 16% of Omicron-positive patients are asymptomatic, completely asymptomatic, which is much higher than prior variants. So the reality is people might have it, not know it, and be spreading it. So that's the concern right now. So again, maybe for just a few weeks or so, let's go back to some of those practices we were doing earlier.
And I assume we've talked about this many times, both you and I and also with Scott Raines, that your advice to the community right now is what you've just said, but, and you know, get vaccinated, get boosted, but wear a mask when you're around other people, just period across the board, boosted or not. Is that right?
Yeah, I would certainly advocate for those types of practices right now, given the situation.
One of the things that we're also seeing, we've kind of heard sort of rumors that the Omicron is a little bit more of a risk to particularly very young pediatric patients. But I'm also reading about how flu, which is, of course, far more dangerous to pediatric cases than COVID, and also RSV is a real problem right now. Are those things true locally?
We are certainly seeing other respiratory diseases spread, which is normal. It's seasonal, and it's that time of year. So, yes, we are, in fact, seeing flu, RSV, and others. Of course, we don't do inpatient pediatrics other than child behavioral health. There are a handful of admitted pediatric patients in the community for COVID, but certainly we're seeing those other conditions, as you referenced, as well. In fact, I'll give you an example. I have a family member yesterday who checked every box for Omicron symptoms, which are running those congestion, sore throat. And I just knew he was positive. He went and got tested. He's negative. So, yeah, there are certainly other conditions that are spreading in the community to be mindful of. And like anything, you know, you certainly don't want to spread the flu, just like we don't want to spread COVID.
Right, exactly. And just a quick note, which is if you feel ill or have a child who feels ill, call your doctor, go to the hospital if you need to. The hospital is the safest place for you to be and to be treated, right?
Correct. Now, what we're also messaging, and Mayor Robinson's been supportive of this as well, is don't come to the emergency departments to get tested. You know, we certainly are busy. Hospital is full. And we're all sorts of conditions. And so, you know, we want to manage the utilization and demand. So there are urgent care centers and other locations to get tested. Even if you're mildly symptomatic, the ER is not probably the place to be. If those conditions change, or if you are, you know, have severe symptoms, absolutely come to the hospital, the ER. Our EMS providers do a great job as well. So calling 911 would be appropriate, but again, only if those are severe conditions.
How are you guys doing, and how is the three hospital system here that you kind of, you know, coordinate with? How are you guys doing on staffing right now?
Well, it's been a crunch. Certainly, most industries, if not all, are dealing with some severe labor force disruption right now, and healthcare is no different. But we're doing fine. We're busy. Our staff have done an incredible job throughout this entire pandemic, and again, a very busy environment both on an inpatient and outpatient basis. And of course, we're experiencing staff that have COVID as well. Now, fortunately for us, it's about 2% of our workforce, which is certainly significant, but not something that's going to cause an interruption in any of our operations.
Well, and given that 3% of the entire state of Florida tested positive in the last 2 weeks of all persons, that's actually a little bit below the state average, amazingly enough. Hey, last question for you, Mark. The new hospital is coming along great, but the hospital president, will not be able to see the completion of the new hospital because Scott Raines is leaving. He's going to Georgia. Is that right?
That's right. You know, we have been blessed to work alongside of Scott for over 8 years. He's done a phenomenal job in our community and been an ambassador for Baptist Healthcare. And congratulations to him and his entire family as he goes to become the president and CEO of Southeast Georgia Health System based in Brunswick, Georgia. I am thrilled and excited for what this could mean for that community and certainly will mean for Scott. And we've got an incredible leadership team here. Those responsibilities have already been absorbed by existing leaders here, and so it's a win-win for all around. And yeah, the hospital is making progress, the new construction. In fact, about 2 hours ago, we poured the last pour of the roof of the 10th floor, which means basically, Andrew, we're topped out.
Huh.
And so now, of course, now with being topped out, we'll shift to more of the interior work and rather than the structural work. So significant milestones happening frequently at the new campus, and we're excited about that. The progress is being made there with the new replacement campus.
Yeah, no, and it's obviously it's enormous, and it's a fun thing to kind of watch go up as we drive by. And, you know, I told Scott this personally when I found out the news. He couldn't be with us this morning because of scheduling, getting ready for the transition, but he has been a fantastic voice of clarity and information to our listeners throughout the course of the pandemic, as you have as well, and I personally appreciate that. Mark Faulkner, he is the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare. Mark, as always, I certainly appreciate the time that you take out of your schedule to be with us this morning, and thanks for keeping us safe. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.